With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So, have you been thinking about an open concept? Or how to fix up the basement and have that man cave you've always wanted? Or maybe it's time to look into solar for your house. You've come to the right place. It's time for the Home Improvement Show, built by Creative Construction of Wisconsin and powered by Current Electric. Let's turn it over to big time Mike McGivern.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show, built by Creative Construction and powered by Current Electric, the home of the superheroes. Obviously, I am not Mike McGivern. Mike McGivern is a little under the weather this morning. So I am Ray Hoffman, marketing manager for Current Electric. And today my co-host is Bingo Emmons with Creative Construction. How are you doing this morning, Bingo?
Sorry, Ray. We're connected with Bingo one more time here, but we do have Fred on the line here.
Oh.
Good morning, Ray.
Well, welcome, Fred. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Good. So our special guest today is Fred Hoppe with Hoppe Tree Service. Fred, it's another wonderful Saturday, and I know
Absolutely.
You guys are very, very busy.
It has been a busy summer, especially these last few weeks in southeast Wisconsin with all these storms that have come through. Definitely have kept us on our toes.
Very nice. Well, I know that I was doing some research for the show today, Fred. And I've known you for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that your company was started in 1972 and you're the third generation. Can you tell us a little history of the Hoppe Tree Service?
Absolutely. As you said, it was started in 1972 and it was started by my father, my uncle, as well as my grandfather. So that was when Hoppe Tree Service as an entity started on its own. All three of them had been doing tree work for quite a while before that, but that's when Hoppe Tree Service as it is today started. So today, me and my brother, August, are the co-owners of the company and have been for getting close to eight years or so. But we've been actively managing it since right around 2001. So it's been a fun
ride.
And
you have three locations, correct?
We do. We service the majority of southeast Wisconsin. We have our administrative office in a central location in West Dallas. We have a north location in Grafton, just off Highway 60. And we have our newest location in Caledonia, and that is where our Urban Wood Lab store is as well, right on South 27th Street, just north of 7 Mile Road and just south of the new Elm Road exit. Off of 94.
Yeah, I've been at that location. I'm definitely going to, we're definitely going to bring that back up later in the show because I think it's a phenomenal place. And I know my company is going to be taking advantage of that location as well here shortly. But
hey,
can you tell us a little bit?
Just letting you know, you got me back on.
Oh, Bingo's back on. Bingo, welcome to the show. How you doing this morning?
All right. I just got the tail end of it about that Caledonia shop, that thing. Ray, you've been there. We've been there. That place is just awesome. He takes wood that, you know, normally would get thrown away, turns into stuff, fireplace mantles, tables. It's crazy how great that stuff is.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to talk about that more because there's some things that you guys do, Fred, down there that I didn't realize until I went down there. So we're definitely going to talk about that because we're looking at doing a large countertop through you guys right now, or not a countertop, but a live edge. So it's going to be pretty awesome. So, but I did want to get into how do you guys work, Freddie? And I say Freddie because I know Freddie. Don't call him Freddie. It's actually Fred. But how does Hoppe Tree Service work? What sets you guys apart from everybody else?
Well, you know, definitely the Urban Wood Lab store is something that is a great differentiator for us. You know, it's all locally sourced, upcycled urban wood. You know, we love finding the highest and the best use for the wood that we come across. We do a lot of custom milling for our clients. If they have a tree on their property that has to come down for any number of reasons, we can mill that to whatever specifications they want and kiln dry it for them for any number of projects. At our store in Caledonia, we also have a number of processing services we provide, whether it's straight line ripping pieces to do glue ups, sanding pieces, planing services. So, the Urban Wood Lab side is definitely a very cool differentiator for us. But on the tree service side, we've been doing this so long, we really make it easy to work with. You know, I think the processes that we've put in place really set us apart in our industry. From the ease of getting a quote, requesting a quote on our website, to our office staff being able to contact you, set up a time that works for everyone, and the sales arborist follow up, and all the way through scheduling and getting the work completed, we make it really easy to work with, because, you know, in the end, it's all about people. That's our mission, is taking care of people and their trees. And we have it in that order for a reason. The trees aren't our clients, the people are.
Yeah, I think that's something that creative construction, bingo, we all have in common is the education. I know there's a lot of education Fred provides for his team. I know Bingo's providing a lot of education for his team. We always provide education for our team. So, Bingo, I know you really wanted to have Fred on the show this morning, and there's a really good reason for that. Can you explain the reason why typically tree people are not really known part of the home improvement industry, but they really are? So I wanted you to take time to explain why.
Yeah, well, in a remodeling business, one thing about Fred, and he's definitely my wife's favorite tree person. When we had a birch get sick in our yard, I thought this is just a big sales gimmick. Guys gonna stick needles in the tree. Next thing you know, the tree's fine. The magnolia tree's got some kind of scale thing on it. He comes in, he sprays it with some stuff. Everything gets cured. He's great at just fixing trees and stuff. Which also brought up the point about remodeling is, you do a remodeling project, you have a tree. You have a tree's in the yard, and I have a list of questions I want to go with Fred. Some questions, even stuff that happened this week. There's things that those guys can do. Like one thing, Fred, I just sent you over a customer over in Tulsa about a couple months ago, because you have to be able to get in the backyard. And what's like the narrowest opening you can get in now? I seen that machine, like, just go through a walkway, and it opens up to the big explosive machine.
It's amazing how mechanized the industry has become, even from when I started. We have these self-propelled lifts on tracks that have a very narrow profile when they're traveling. So we can get through a standard size gate, which is, 36 inches. So we can have the machine get through that opening set up and still have working height of 72 feet. You know, it's really a necessity nowadays, especially with we're kind of right in the thick of Emerald Ash Borer, and unfortunately seeing a lot of trees decline. And they decline so fast that, it becomes fast unsafe for someone to climb that tree as you would traditionally. So being able to work safer and faster with some of the great machines we have is a necessity. But I loved how you mentioned, Bingo, that, we're great at taking trees down, and a lot of times they do have to come down, but what we really love is taking care of trees before they get sick. Or if they do get sick, being able to figure out what's going on and come up with a plan to get them healthy again and thrive.
Yeah, because if you get a tree, let's say someone's doing a small dish or making a mud room, but it gets next to some big tree that's been around since the beginning of time. What can a contractor do, or what can we do, or remodeler do, to prevent you from trees? Do you just have to move them, or can you? Is there things that we can do to get next to them?
There's any number of things that could be done, and it's really obviously case by case. A lot of it depends on the type of tree, the size of the tree, the proximity to the area that's being worked on. You know, if you're talking about, you know, putting in an addition, you know, it could be involve excavation. So you got to think about where that root zone is, where it wants to be in the future, and take that into consideration. But, you know, there's a lot of methods of identifying where the root system is, you know, directional pruning away from buildings. So there's a lot of strategies to have trees and buildings coincide happily.
So you have a method of doing that. How do you do that, Fred?
Well, we're actually working on a project now where we're using, so there's a footprint for a soon-to-be addition at a client of ours' lake property. And they have these huge, beautiful Norway spruce. They're all probably about 20 to 25 inches in diameter and, you know, 60 to 70 feet tall. Gorgeous, majestic trees that add a lot of value to the property. And they had the foresight to, you know, consider, like, what's going to happen if we excavate for this footings for this addition? What's that going to do to these trees that are within, like, 15 feet of the building? So they called us, and I kind of surveyed, did a little site inspection, and came up with, you know, what we were going to do is a root inspection. So one of the tools we have, which is great, is a pneumatic air tool to, you know, blow away the soil without damaging the roots, so we can identify where those roots are and do precise pruning as opposed to, you know, tearing away with a backhoe or excavator. You can imagine what kind of damage that would do to a root system. So one of the great tools we have, yeah, this pneumatic air tool, Air Spade is what they call it. That's the brand that we use, and it ends up saving a lot of trees.
Very good. Well, we all love saving trees, right? So
absolutely.
So we got to get to a break, but on the other side of the break, I want to talk more about how you save the trees. I know you guys have a lot of certifications throughout your company. So, and they gave me a list of them, but I could not read them all in a great amount of time. So on the other side of the break, we'll definitely talk about that. You are listening to the Home Improvement Show, built by Creative Construction and powered by Kern Electric, home of the superheroes. And our guest today is Fred Hoppe with Hoppe Tree Service.
Welcome to the Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Creative Construction and powered by Current Electric. I see we're, I was just going over my questions here. Fred, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, I was just going over my questions here. Yeah, I didn't know that was my cue to jump on. So sorry about the little delay.
But, it's all good, Bingo. I was just jamming to the music.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, yeah, I have another one. I have some things that are having up, and just because, you know, this remodeling show, so I got to get my remodeling questions all the way before we start talking about the cool stuff you do with the Urban Wood Lab, which is, and I got to give a shout out to Kern Electric. Frank came over. We got a building, we had some lighting issues, power issues. Frank came in there. I came up with a plan, then he sent Andy over there, and 4 days later, man, that thing is perfect. Electrical works. We can run saws now. We can do stuff. Our lights are all good. So when you see them, you know, give Frank and Andy a, you know, pat on the back for me.
Absolutely. But I have to tell a little story because this kind of ties into Fred as well. So Andy discovered a bird in Bingo's office and couldn't figure out why there was a bird in a box. There was a hurt bird in their parking lot, and Bingo decided to bring it in his office so he could get somebody to take care of it properly. That's the kind of kind of person Bingo is.
Yeah, we actually found the owner.
Yeah, so, good.
Yeah, it turned out good. Being a remodeling business, that, you know, I do the plaster stucco work and stuff, and we get trees. Okay, a neighbor's rubbing on a neighbor's tree is rubbing on a house. I got two problems. that happens with that. One time we had one that actually made the news on Wisconsin Avenue a long time ago, where a city tree was rubbing on the house. So how do you handle that? If the city tree is rubbing on something on my house, in that case it was a flagpole, what do we do, Fred?
Yeah, well, the first thing is what I always, you know, recommend to our clients is to, you know, contact the owner of that tree first and foremost. You know, most communities have ordinances in place where, you know, you have a right and a responsibility to prune anything that, you know, goes over the plane of that property line. So, but there's a big caveat. You can't do anything that would negatively affect the overall health structure or health of that tree. So it gets to be a gray area, but communication is always key. There's definitely, we come across, you know, clients quite often who, you know, similar situation you're describing, Bingo, where there's a neighbor's tree, but it, you know, extends well over the property line. You know, trees don't really respect property lines that well. And they want to just cut it all the way back to the property line. I want it straight up. And it's like, all right, time out. Let's think about it. Do you really want to stare at that tree that's cut straight back to the lot line, leaving poor pruning cuts and most likely upsetting the neighbor? So it's key to get the other party involved. Let them know your concerns or what needs to get done on the other side. So that's the key there is talking with the neighbors about it. But, you know, ultimately you do have a right to prune anything that goes over the plane of that property line. And, you know, most of the time it can be done in a tasteful way according to industry standards so that the tree's healthy, looks good, and, you know, and will thrive for the long term.
Well, it's happened to me one time where, you know, I was doing a house and I started stuck in the back of the garage and a neighbor came screaming and said, "You're stepping on my flowers and stuff." Because technically they actually own 4 feet behind the garage, but he's never done nothing. So what do you guys do when you guys like cutting a tree and some neighbor comes screaming out at you? I mean,
that always gets to be a difficult situation, and it's happened a bunch. But that's why, you know, if we're out on a proposal for a client and there's a tree in a situation like that, we have them fill out a neighbor permission request form, or just, you know, make it very clear that, you know, we don't want to be caught in the middle when we're pruning on this tree that's originating on the neighbor's property but extends over your yard. So it's all about good communication and emphasizing to our client that, you know, from this point during the proposal estimate, when the work done is, you have to have that conversation with your client to let them know as a courtesy that, you know, work's going to be done on that tree. And that usually alleviates a lot of issues because people get very passionate about their trees, which is good, but it's never fun to be caught in the middle of a neighbor dispute.
All right. Another one, too, because this, you know, this remodeling up. Someone's got a big tree. And it's coming up the driveway. And I told him this. I don't know if it's true or not. But he's got a big tree right now. His big tree and the driveway starting to come up. And the guy's like, "We need to cut this tree down because it's lifting up my driveway." I think if he cut the tree down, what happens is the when the roots die, it actually becomes a sinkhole. Is that true? Or, I mean, what happens? Like, you know, people like, "Well, I'm going to cut a tree down, go lift my sidewalk." And the next thing you know, it's not like an actual sinkhole, but it starts to, when the tree decays or roots decay, it goes down.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. It's more so to do with water, you know, water, the universal solvent. So when that tree dies, it's going to break down. But, you know, typically if it's heaving a driveway, you're going to be seeing cracks. So moisture is the bigger culprit for those sinkholes as opposed to tree roots.
Now, is that something, Freddie, that you can help with, or does the tree have to come down in all cases?
Not all cases, you know, it depends on, you know, the root density, the type of tree, you know, the construction of the new driveway. I had a project in Wauwatosa. It was an interesting one. It was a narrow driveway, old established house, and their asphalt driveway is just going into total disrepair, almost undrivable, just due to the deterioration of the asphalt as well as this large black walnut. That was the neighbor's tree. That was, you know, right off the driveway. you know, and we were just trying to come up with a plan of how they can replace their driveway and maintain this tree. And we also, again, utilized that that tool I mentioned before, the air spade, which uses compressed air to blow the soil away. I use this tool like in looking for underground utilities too. So it's a nice tool to delicately, gently examine that root system and see where that you know where the main root mass is. So there's different types of roots. You got lateral roots, which are more structural than fine roots, and those ones close to the base of the tree you want to try to avoid if possible. So in this scenario, we pulled up the driveway, or another contractor pulled up the driveway, and we came in and you know, did kind of a trench along the driveway of the footprint of where they wanted it to be, and realized that, you know, we didn't have substantial roots that we were afraid to cut into and damage the tree in close proximity. So they were able to replace the driveway with little or no harm to that large tree.
Whatever.
Very nice. We definitely want to save as many trees as possible, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, trees make people happy.
Yeah, but what happens if you were to take an air tool and you would have found that the roots are there? Then what do you do?
Well, yeah, depending on what type of roots they are, you know, that it might be, you know, there's really not any good way to replace this driveway without, you know, cutting into some of these roots. And so when it comes to that point where you do have to do substantial root cutting, you want to look at what kind of percentage, you know, everyone, you know, most roots stay within the top 2 feet of soil and they go out far and wide. But it's not always a nice even distribution evenly from every angle. So roots are going to grow where roots are going to grow. So that's areas that have good soil characteristics where there's a lot of the right amount of moisture and the right amount of oxygen. So, you know, typically underneath driveways, you know, that's not ideal conditions for roots. So typically we don't see a lot of root density in those areas. But, you know, sometimes if you have to cut maybe one or two lateral roots and you know you have substantial, you know, good area soil volume on the other sides of the tree, it could pull through fine. You know, there's definitely treatments that could be done to make the tree healthy, kind of get in a nice holding pattern to withstand that kind of impact. But every tree is different. Every case is different. So it's there's a lot of variables.
Okay. You know more about trees. It's like, you know, like Ray with electricity or me with stucco. Anyways, so if you want to build an addition or do something, you're worried about the trees. Fred, how will they call you or what's in your website?
Yeah, we make it easy. On our website, we have a request a quote link. It's the first thing you see. There's also you can request a consultation. If you just want us to come out and do a walkthrough, there's a step-by-step process on our website that you can click on and go that route as well. Or you call into our office if you'd like to talk to a person. We're open 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. weekdays, and that number is 414-257-2111.
Okay, you have to repeat that. I just got my crayon off.
It's area code 414-257-2111.
Okay, and your website?
HoppyTreeService.com.
All right, gentlemen, so we got to go on another break. You are listening to Fred Hoppy with Hoppy Tree Service, HoppyTreeService.com. And I'll let him repeat the phone number again a couple more times during the show here. But you are listening to the Home Improvement Show, built by Creative Construction and powered by Kern Electric, home of the superheroes, on 1250 AM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, built by Creative Construction and powered by Kern Electric, home of the superheroes. Our guest today is Fred Hoppy with Hoppy Tree Service. Welcome back, Fred.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Fred, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because I know Bingo has a lot more questions because he sent me an email on them, but I did want to talk about, there's a lot of certifications you guys have.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are one of the only tree services, at least from what I'm researching, that you have over 10 people certified arborists, and your salespeople are arborists and everything. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about that and the certifications you guys carry, because there's a long list and I can't read it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Great thing to bring up. It's something that we're very, very proud of. You know, everyone at our company, every field worker, a plant health care technician, the tree work department, is an arborist in some degree of training. We have our own in-house training program that starts right from day one, that leads up to becoming a certified arborist through the International Society of Arboriculture. So that's something that we're very proud of. We're also instrumental in starting an apprenticeship program that's recognized through the state, which is innovative for our industry and in our state. And everyone knows how hard it is to find good help. So we are, putting processes in place to train people from day one with no experience. You can go through a pre-apprenticeship program, which is a 2 years, apprenticeship program of 3, and then be ready to take the certified arborist exam afterwards. We do also have 2 board-certified master arborists on staff, myself being one. And to be able to sit for that exam, you have to have quite a few prerequisites, including just time in the field. That ISA certified arborist is kind of like the gold standard for individuals in our industry. That is a personal credential. We also have accreditation for our whole company through the Tree Care Industry Association, and that's something that we're also very proud of. I believe there's about 11 to 12, maybe more now, in the state of Wisconsin that are accredited by the TCIA. They make sure you have all the office infrastructure in place, business plan, training program, but a big component is safety. They come out and do on-site safety audits on a regular basis to get that recertification. So across the country, I believe there's probably about 200 to 300 companies that have this accreditation. So that's a nice feather in our cap. Ray, you mentioned training earlier, and that's something that we're constantly doing. We actually had our West Dallas location had their quarterly day training yesterday, and we brought in the Milwaukee Fire Department high angle rescue team to kind of compare notes with us, see how they approach situations that, say a climber is disabled in a tree, how do they go about getting that person down? And on the flip side, they wanted to see how, we do aerial rescue training on a regular basis ourselves, and it was great to compare notes. For fortunately, we've not had to have any aerial rescues up to this point, but it's good to be prepared if something like that happens, because it is, you can do everything right, but a tree could fail, and things can go south pretty quick.
That's amazing. That's something I just learned about you, Fred. I didn't know you guys did that with the fire department. That's amazing. That's a great program.
It really is. They are great to work with. And we're very fortunate to get that training in, and hopefully we'll do that on, that was the first time we've done it with them, but hopefully we can do that on a more regular basis, because there's so many new developments in technology. When I started, it was just rope and harness climbing at our company. I was on the climbing crew. I remember the day after a few years of working that we got our first aerial lift, and even now, just the instruments used in climbing, there's all sorts of ascenders and different gadgets that get pretty complex pretty quickly. So it's good to be up to date with the latest and the greatest, because if you know a tree climber, they're gear junkies. They like getting all sorts of the latest and the greatest.
Yeah, you won't catch me up there. That's way too high for me. That's not going to happen. What about you, Bingo? You think you'll go up there?
I just learned that too. I never thought about that. What happens if a guy's cutting the top of a tree and he gets stuck? How do you get him down? I haven't even thought about it. You had to train for that. But things have changed.
Tricky.
Even like in our business and stuff with scaffolding and all the OSHA regulations and stuff. I'm sure when you
you know, with the mask and stuff. I mean, you see Fred guys there. Those guys got ear protection on, face protection. They got guards. They got all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but I never even thought about that. What do you do when a guy's stuck in a tree?
Yeah, well, now, you know, as mentioned in those aerial lifts that we use now quite on a regular basis, and, you know, they're great machines, but they have a lot of moving parts, and they can go sideways pretty quick. They can break down. So knowing what the emergency lowering, the manual overrides of those machines are is important. There are instances where the machine kind of gives up on you, and that's not good if you're fully extended. So, you know, the person operating the machine needs to know the ins and outs of that machine, but likewise, the people on the ground need to know the inside and outside of those machines as well, because you can lose power in the control basket where you'll need to use the manual overrides at the base of the machine. So very important for everyone, not just the operator, to know how to work that machine in those scenarios. Or likewise, if you're doing rope and harness, harness climbing, you need to be able to kind of assess the situation if something goes wrong. If a climber gets hurt or some of their gear gets compromised, that gets really tricky when you have to set another climbing line in that tree and get that person's full weight off of that line onto another. That gets very involved and nothing that can be rushed. And you definitely got to know what you're doing, because nothing's worse than creating, you know, two victims out of one incident as opposed to one.
Yeah, you gotta be safe. Yeah, yeah, it's too. It's like when you guys are cutting too. In the old days, people would just cut things, just fall down. Now I see your guys, you know, they're like lowering each. They're cutting logs like little sections, and they're lowering them down. They don't just throw them like they used to.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, we are, you know, definitely working quite often in, you know, urban settings, neighborhoods. You know, like Wauwatosa, where I grew up. Not a lot of scenarios where you can just let pieces fly. You know, things have to come down controlled around unmovable objects. You know, we're working over houses, fences, wires in some scenarios. So making sure that you know where that piece is going is important. So you can use, you know, ropes and blocks and tackles, pulleys. A lot of times we use the tree itself as create lowering points within the tree to bring things down slowly or swing them where we need to go. But we also have two cranes that we utilize. So if we, you know, have to actually pick a piece up with little or no movement, we have the ability to do that. So we have two servo-size cranes that assist in that. And that's very, very helful in tight spots some of our neighborhoods around in Milwaukee.
Now, Fred, we're talking a lot about cutting down trees, and obviously that's a big part of your business. I know it's not everything you guys do. You guys also do the, you know, repairing trees. You deal with a lot of emerald ash borer, but you guys also plant trees.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You try to plant one for everyone you remove, I believe you told me, at some point.
Absolutely, if not more. You know, the loss of canopy due to emerald ash borer is pretty devastating. So it's very important to... you know, to put trees back, and that's something that we've definitely made a big push for recently. We've expanded capacity in our landscape division to do that, and we spend a lot of time. We do a webinar series for our clients and anyone that wants to sign up for it. You know, picking the right tree for the right spot is huge. You know, there's reasons that, you know, emerald ash borer is as devastating to us as it is. It's because of poor planting practices. You know, way too many ash trees were planted as a percentage of, you know, overall tree population. You know, and that's what got us into this mess with so many trees having to come down. You know, it was a similar issue scenario with all the American elms starting in the 50s that started to decline from Dutch elms disease. Just about every street in Milwaukee was lined with American elms. And they all had to come down, and they were faced with trying to replace all that, and the canopy loss was devastating for a number of different factors. But they
it's funny. I'm actually standing here, Fred. We're doing a river cleanup for Current Electric this morning when I got the call last night from Mike asking if I could host this with Bingo today. And I'm looking at all these trees in a park along the river that are –
not, there's no leaves, no nothing. So I believe they're dead, but so that would definitely be something. Do you work with cities or like homeowners associations a lot as well?
We do. And that's where a lot of the work in ash removal is right now, is these natural low-lying areas. Ash is a type of tree that regenerates really easily by seeds, and there's still a lot of young ones coming up, and there's, you know, a lot of ones that are dead and still standing. You know, you go up and down the interstate, you see whole forests of dead trees. It's pretty sad, and a lot of parkways as well. Those are areas that have just been kind of neglected, but now when you're staring at a dead tree in the face and something potentially that could fail and go across a path or a street or hit a target like a house or heaven forbid, someone, you know, something needs to be done about those.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll definitely contact you later and let you know what trees I'm looking at that are dead. Maybe you can contact the city. I don't want to announce it on radio. But
sure.
Yeah. So I still got my basement question. David's over here waving at me to make sure we answer, because, you know, from customers. Okay. What about, you know, tree roots get into the basement and in the sewers? I mean, can you guys help with any of that, or is there stuff you can do?
Yeah, definitely. We can definitely help assess the situation. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, tree roots are going to grow where there's good conditions for them to thrive. So, you know, I learned from my good friend Chris Mancuso, actor at Basement, that, you know, 90% of foundation issues are grading and downspouts and water. So if that water is, you know, going towards the foundation, roots are going to want to thrive in those areas and expand, and that's where you're going to see issues. So, you know, and over time, you know, trees will kind of raise somewhat out of the ground or seemingly out of the ground. Most of those roots are in that top 2 feet of soil where there's the right amount of oxygen and moisture, and that's where they're going to thrive. So a tree can kind of change the grade over time. You know, when it was planted, it might have been perfect grade, but over time it can, you know, that root flare as it enters the ground can kind of raise up and cause water to go towards the house when you want it to be going away from a house.
That's great.
But also, we can use that air spade tool and help identify where those roots are if they're going towards the house and do selective cutting to deter them.
All right, so we're going to have to take a break, gentlemen. We'll finish answering that question when we come back. Also, I want to talk about your location in Caledonia, because I think that is something that's really cool with you, Fred, and Hoppy Tree Service. So you are listening to the Home Improvement Show. Our guest today is Fred Hoppy with Hoppy Tree Service, and the Home Improvement Show is built by Creative Construction and powered by Kern Electric, home of the superheroes, on 1250 AM, The Fan. Good morning. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show, built by Creative Construction and powered by Kern Electric, home of the superheroes. Our guest today is Fred Hoppy with Hoppy Tree Service. Welcome back, Fred.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
And our co-host today is Bingo Emmons with Creative Construction. Call creativeconstruction.com. So, Fred, I wanted to make sure that we cover your location in Caledonia, your retail location. So can you tell us about it and what you guys do?
It's an awesome place. It is really, if you're into woodworking, you'll be like a kid in a candy store. So that's where we have our locally sourced wood pieces. Everyone's different and unique. So a lot of live edge slabs, those are very popular. We do regular dimensional lumber for finished carpentry as well. So we we do some processing services. So we have a straight line ripping saw. We have a big industrial sander, a planer. So we can help people get a leg up on their project. You know, a lot of woodworkers don't have access to some of these machines that we do. So we can help them out there. But it's one unique thing.
These are big machines that are there. I mean,
I was there one time on a Saturday, and a guy came in, it was a really, really nice, expensive piece of wood. And he has certain dimensions and certain things he wanted for his fireplace mantle and stuff. And I think Maury Miller or someone was there. And it's like, yeah, okay, no problem. They just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best part is all the pieces in our store, nothing was taken down for its timber value. This is all stuff that would have been earmarked for the dump or for firewood. So, firewood's, a great existence for a piece of wood, but some of these pieces, its highest and best use is definitely living on longer in a fun project like a coffee table or cabinets or any number of different projects.
Now, it's called Urban Lab, right?
The Urban Wood Lab.
Urban Wood Lab. And I know it's close to 7 Mile Fair, because I was over there. And can you give better directions than what I can probably give?
Yeah, the exact address is 195 South 27th Street. And it's you can exit on the new Elm Road, South Elm Road exit, or 7 Mile Road, right off of 94. So it's right.
And what hours
on,
are you guys open there, Fred?
We are open Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So today we're open till 2 p.m. And during the week we're open till 4 p.m. And actually, if you're out and about in Waukesha today, we are having a urban wood milling demonstration at the Sustainability Fair at Retzer Nature Center. And that goes from 9:30 today to 3 p.m. So Retzer Nature Center is in Waukesha. I believe it's off Meadowview.
Yeah, and you guys do a lot of that stuff too, Fred, trying to get out in the community and educating people and showing people what you do. I know told me that you guys have been doing quite a bit of shows lately.
Also, Fred, also, you guys, I congratulate you with all the work you guys do with Habitat Humanity and all those trees you guys plant for all those projects and like restores and doing all of that kind of stuff.
We're in four different Habitat for Humanity restores with displays for wood. So you can find our wood products at those stores as well.
Yeah, I know, Fred. I contacted you, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and we're looking to get a live edge slab at my office. And it was very, very easy to talk to your people over there and get an idea of price. And I just gave him the dimensions, and he said, this is what we can do. I haven't ordered it yet, but I'm looking forward to ordering it soon. And he even had recommendations based off of what exactly I was doing with it, of what kind of tree I should use and everything. So it was a fantastic experience so far.
Yeah, a lot of people, they have an idea of what they want done, but they need help connecting the dots. And our staff, Dan and Eric down at the Wood Lab, are great, and Maury, they're great at helping you connect those dots and seeing the project finished through.
I got one more question because I know Ray's going to cut me off here. Let's say that someone's doing an addition and remodeling project and they get a tree and it's been there for 100 years. Is it possible to take part of that tree and use it like a fireplace mantle or keep part of it or make a slab or something out of it?
Absolutely. That's one of the funnest things we do with the Urban Wood Lab in conjunction with the tree crew department. So we can, starting with the sales arborist, we can walk the homeowner through that process of getting that tree down, making sure we're cutting that trunk section or large stem section in the right dimensions, and we can get it to our mill. We can cut it to whatever specs you need. We have our sawyer Carl. He can help create a custom milling plan, or if you know exactly what you want, we can do that, and then we can see it through with the kiln drying it to the right moisture content and process that wood and have you ready to run on your project. So that's one of the funnest things that we do. When you're, nothing's better than utilizing trees from your own property.
And then, Ray, get your phone numbers and website a couple of times here again before we'll go off.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Fred, can you give us your phone number? I know it's hoppytreeservice.com. And can you give us her phone number if anybody wants to get a hold of you or wants to get educated or even wants to sign up for one of your events that They may want you to come out. I know you do a lot of those as well. So I want to make sure people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, like you said, the email, the website's hoppytreeservice.com. Our phone number is area code 414-257-2111. Again, that's 414-257-2111.
Yeah, I know you won't be disappointed with
that you want to tell services.
What?
Is there anything you missed that you want to tell people about your company, Fred?
No, I think we touched on it all. We love taking care of people and their trees. Trees are an important part of everything that we do. Every property has some type of vegetation on it, and it adds to the value of the property. It adds to the comfort of life. So it's important to take care of those trees, and we'd love to help you with that.
Yeah, Fred can do it all. If the tree is sick, he can bring him back to life. If you got problems with your remodeling project, Fred can consult you with that. And just Fred, you know about my wife. She's your number one fan. So
you guys have a great yard. It's great working with you and Deb.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys very much for a fantastic morning. And how fitting is it that I'm sitting here cleaning a river while I'm talking to Fred, one of the most environmentally conscious people I know, and Bingo, who is a huge supporter for environmentally conscious and healthy living. And, of course, Fred is as well. So how fitting is that I'm sitting here watching my team while I'm on the phone, while I'm on the radio with you guys clean up a river. So thank you very much for being here, Fred. It was a great experience. And everybody call Fred Hoppy at hoppytreeservice.com. at 414-257-2111, Fred?
That's right.
All right. I remembered the number now. So everybody give him a call, and hopefully if you have anything that you have trees that need to come down, you have trees that need to be repaired, you have sick trees, or if you want to add trees and add to our environment, Hoppy Tree Service and the guys at Hoppy Tree Service are there for you. And if you're looking to do a mantle or a live edge slab, make sure you check out his location in Caledonia, the Urban Wood Lab. And it's a phenomenal place. I got to go see it a few weeks ago, and definitely looking forward to getting that live edge slab here shortly from you, Fred. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you. And Bingo, thank you as always. It was fun co-hosting with you. And I love doing the show with you guys.
Yep. All right. Yeah, and tell Mike, get well.
Yeah, I will. And that was Bingo Edmonds with Creative Construction. Call creative.com. And you are listening to the Home Improvement Show, built by Creative Construction. And